Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
Satsers, that's right. I love this American ride.
All right. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes radio program. Hope you had a terrific long weekend. You know, a lot going on around the country. People having a good time doing, and hopefully your Labor Day was laborless. I had to work. I was anchoring over at Newsmax yesterday, so we had a great time, and we'll tell you more about that a little bit later on today. You know, I got a lot of messages over the weekend. Starnes, what do you know? Is Trump okay? Is he going to resign? Is he dealing with a health crisis? What's going on? So late yesterday, a lot of curiosity, the White House coming out and announcing the president only has one item on his agenda, which is a statement that he'll be delivering, an announcement, rather, that's going to be happening around the 2 o'clock hour Eastern time, and we'll try to bring that to you if it, in fact, happens during the show today. And there's been a lot of speculation as to what that was, because over the past several days now, there's been this crazy narrative forming on social media. And you, I even hesitated to tell you about this, because if you're not on X or Facebook, or Instagram, you probably don't even know what I'm talking about here. But anyway, the left and the mainstream media, the legacy media, they have been advancing this narrative that Trump is not well, that President Trump is sick, and that he is near his deathbed. And over the weekend, those allegations, those rumors just exploded. And people were saying, oh, my God, Trump's dead. He's got a body double. All right, you know what? Yeah, Biden no doubt had a body double. That's what you see is what you get with Donald J. Trump. So anyway, all I can tell you is what I have seen personally. And last Monday, when I was with the president, he was very physically fit. He looked great. He had good color. He was in a very jovial mood. He had control of his mental faculties. And he looked pretty darn good to me. Not too bad for a guy who's, 79 years old. I mean, look, you're going to have good days, bad days when you're 79. It happens. You're old. What are you going to do? But I would tend to believe Congressman Ronny Jackson, who used to be the president's doctor, used to be Obama's doctor back in the day at the White House. And Jackson says he's never seen a man of that age in such great condition. So, yeah, the president's got a few health issues, nothing terribly major. It's all being treated. But this idea that all of a sudden the media is really concerned about the health and the well-being of a president of the United States, the same media, by the way, that for an entire administration, 4 years, they turned a blind eye to the fact that you had Weekend at Bernie's going on at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. Joe Biden was a walking corpse. And the press corps turned a blind eye. And not only that, they tried to crucify anybody who suggested, hey, look, can you put a mirror up in front of Biden's mouth so we can see if he's still actually breathing? Those same people now want to somehow make you think that Trump is on his deathbed or that he has lost all control of his mental faculties. I'm not buying it. It's just simply not true. And it's disgusting, ladies and gentlemen, that the press corps would do something like this. These people are just devious. I mean, these are sick, sick people we're dealing with here. So anyway, but what about the announcement? What's going to happen? Is it true they're gathering the entire family? No, it is not. Now, our understanding, and I will tell you this, we've been able to independently verify this. It's our belief that President Trump is going to be making an announcement today about Space Force. And we understand that President Trump will be announcing today that Space Force is going to be relocating from Colorado to the great state of Alabama. So that's exciting news, no doubt, for the good people in the Huntsville area, if in fact that's where they're going to be locating. It may be down in Mobile. Anyway, the state of Alabama, congratulations. You're about to be home to more astronauts. By the way, there is a great trivia question, Dylan, and I'm going to give the answer, but I just find this fascinating. The one state where there are more rocket scientists per capita than any other place in the nation, the state of Alabama.
Yes.
Gonna be honest, wouldn't have guessed that.
No, you wouldn't expect it.
I'm just saying, I don't judge. I don't judge. By the way, what happened to Alabama?
Oh man.
Wow, that's embarrassing.
They might want to fire that head coach after that game.
Wait, does he still have a job?
I don't know. I think Nick Saban's just, you know, sitting in his chair right now, like folding his arms.
I would have figured they would have rented out every single U-Haul in Tuscaloosa and it would have been parked outside the guy's house when they got back. Man, that was awful.
Yes.
The story is that the players went out the night before and they were partying and carrying on, carousing. There were dancing girls apparently involved. And that tells me a complete lack of discipline, which is what we saw in that field.
Nick Saban would have never let that happen.
No, he wouldn't. This is not Nick Saban's football team.
It's not anymore.
It is a dark day in Tuscaloosa, at least. Anyway, all that to say, welcome to the show. We got a lot to talk about. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Now, I was hosting Newsmax last night, and I want to play my opening monologue because this is an insane story that is unfolding really all across America. A federal judge just came out and ruled that President Trump does not have the right under the U.S. Constitution to deploy National Guard troops. I would contend the president does have that right, provided that there is a national emergency or he has invoked the Insurrection Act. Those are the two ways, the two outlets, I guess, levers the president can use to deploy National Guard troops. And so the president is looking at doing that in Chicago, and it is insane over there. Over the weekend, 53 people shot, 7 or 8 people killed. Unbelievable, the level of violence. And it's not just there. It's also in other major cities as well. But let's take a listen to Cut 2, please. Over the weekend, 54 people were shot in Chicago, at least 8 people killed. That alone would qualify the Windy City to be classified as a war zone. And that's why President Trump is preparing to conduct major immigration enforcement operations in the Windy City. And as those 50 people were being shot this weekend, Chicago Mayor Brandon Johnson signed an executive order against the deployment of federal agents in his city.
I'm signing an executive order today that will launch the Protecting Chicago Initiative. This order affirms that the Chicago Police Department will not collaborate with military personnel on police patrols or civil immigration enforcement. We will protect our Constitution, we will protect our city, and we will protect our people. We do not want to see tanks in our streets. We do not want to see families ripped apart. We do not want grandmothers thrown into the back of unmarked vans. He is reckless and out of control. He is the biggest threat to our democracy than we've experienced in the history of our country.
Well, during a Labor Day rally today, he told the crowd he would defy the president and defend democracy in Chicago.
Are you prepared to defend this land that was built by slaves, a land that was built by indigenous people, a land that is built by workers? Are you prepared to defend this land? If this president decides to continue to break this Constitution, it's going to be the labor movement that stitches it back together.
I don't know. Sounds a little, what's the vibe I'm looking for? Insurrection-y, maybe? Just a smidge. But as bad as the streets may be in Chicago or Washington, D.C., they are even more dangerous in places like Memphis, Tennessee and Detroit. According to FBI numbers from last year, those two cities rank as having the highest crime rate per 100,000 people in the country. And by crime, the FBI means murder, rape, robbery, aggravated assault. Chicago ranks 29th on the FBI's list. So why is the Trump administration putting all of its resources and efforts into bringing law and order to Chicago and D.C. and not places like Memphis or Detroit? That is the question raised by the New York Times today. They published a story titled "Crime Festers in Republican States While Their Troops Patrol Washington." Now, the Times specifically called out Tennessee Governor Bill Lee, wondering why the Republican governor dispatched National Guard troops to Washington instead of Memphis. The Times pointed out the murder rate in Memphis is about twice as high as D.C.'s. So why is Governor Lee turning a blind eye to the hurting citizens of his own state? Now, his office did not respond to questions, and it's no surprise Governor Lee, something of a thin-skinned rhino squish, not exactly cut from the gubernatorial cloth of, say, Ron DeSantis or even Greg Abbott. Now, Jeffrey Butts of the John Jay College of Criminal Justice told the Times that federal resources are not actually being targeted where they would make the most difference. And he said that the Trump administration's actions are not doing anything to improve public safety. Instead, he said it's designed to humiliate political opponents. Yeah, I'm not buying this one at all, folks. And we got to push back on this assertion. Look, TV stations in D.C. are actually commending the president's crime crackdown. So are local residents. They say it's safe for the kids to finally play outdoors, not to mention the fact the district's murder rate has cratered.
I feel safer. I do. It doesn't bother me at all. I just feel more military police presence there are. I just feel like I'm more inclined to be downtown more often.
We need oil in our city. If you don't have no oil, you ain't got no city.
I think it's a good thing because, you know what I'm saying, it's better for the community and safer for the kids. Stop the violence.
I enjoy having extra security. I think it's a good thing. I mean, you want to feel safe when you're out and about, especially females.
And while Chicago Mayor Johnson is all but threatening to wage an armed rebellion against federal agents, residents of the Windy City, they're begging President Trump for help.
The National Guard has to come here, even if it's for a scare tactic. They have to come here. There's no control. There's no law and order.
Today, you hardly see a police car in the neighborhood. It just seems like crime is really out of control right now.
The whole neighborhood is just sick of people coming into the neighborhood and acting like they can just come ravage your stores, take what they want to take, and then they try to make you feel like you're wrong for defending your property.
We still have a problem. We have a problem with illegal guns. We have a high murder rate. We need help with that.
I think that the governor as well as the mayor should be on board with it just so we can get a bit more of security in Chicago the way that we need.
Now, several weeks ago, the president personally told me on my national radio show that he would be taking a look at Memphis, the city of my birth, my hometown, one of the most unique cities in the nation, turned into a war zone thanks to activist judges, a soft-on-crime district attorney, and Democrat lawmakers who say there's really not so much a crime problem as there is a perception problem. The fact is that Memphians, we don't hate Memphis. We hate what our city has become. And I suspect the good people in Detroit and D.C. and Chicago feel the same way about their towns. You see, the one common denominator here is that Democrats control the most violent cities in our nation, every last one of them. The Democrats have ruled our major cities for generations. They are responsible for the crime. They are responsible for the bloodshed. They are responsible for the moral decay and the cultural rot. Now, President Trump, he wants to make our city safe again. The American people know that. And I got to say, I look forward to the day when President Trump is leading a convoy of troops down past Graceland and over to Beale Street looking to put a blue suede boot up the backside of the bad guys. Yeah, so I'm a little fired up last night on Newsmax during primetime. I think that we ought to hit every single major American city, ladies and gentlemen, and I believe that President Trump is well within his constitutional rights and his presidential authority to do that, deploy the National Guard. And by the way, any governor, and I'll just talk about Governor Bill Lee, the governor of Tennessee. If the governor of Tennessee will not do his duty, then he needs to resign from office and we'll put somebody in there who will. It really is that simple. All right, got to take a break here. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Coming up, an insane riot inside a Walmart in Indianapolis. We'll tell you about that. Also, a lot happening in Chicago where now even a Democrat alderman says President Trump needs to come to town. We'll be right back, everybody. Friends, I want to tell you about a new movie. It's called Sketch, and it's the latest from our good friends over at Angel Studios, the folks who are committed to bringing faith-based, family-friendly entertainment back to the big screen. Now, this one's a real treat. Sketch is imaginative, heartwarming, and just plain fun. Picture Stranger Things meets Inside Out, only clean, uplifting, and packed with values you can actually feel good about sharing with your kids. It's the story of a little girl whose sketchbook falls into a mysterious pond, and suddenly all her drawings come to life. It's got excitement, a little suspense, and a whole lot of laughs. If you're already a premium Angel Guild member, your two free tickets to Sketch are ready and waiting. If you're not, well, now's the time. Sign up today and see Sketch in theaters starting August 6th. Plus, you'll get access to Angel Studios' entire streaming library, content that reflects your values, honors your faith, and uplifts your family. If you're tired of the junk Hollywood keeps churning out and you're ready to support movies that are wholesome, meaningful, and made with heart, head over to angel.com/starns and become a premium Angel Guild member today. And welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Let's go to the phone lines here, 901-260-5926. Steve in Houston, listening to us on Patriot Talk 920. Hi, Steve. What's on your mind today?
Hey, Todd. I love your show. You know, people are talking about the Trump sending military troops into major cities, and I agree. We've got a serious crime problem, but you know, the Posse Comitatus was enacted so that American troops would never be used on our soil. And what concerns me about this is if we set that precedent, then what's going to happen if a Democrat gets in office later on after Trump's gone, and we've already set the precedent to use military troops against America? I mean, people don't realize when George Bush was president, when he enacted the USA Patriot Act, he did away with Posse Comitatus, which, I mean, not the habeas corpus, which is your right to stand in front of your accusers. And I believe it was Thomas Jefferson that said that those who give up liberty for safety will have neither liberty nor safety. And I just think it's a dangerous precedent. I mean, we obviously need to do something. But, you know, if we're giving up our rights as Americans, that to me, I've always thought that them opening the borders and letting criminals in was, you know, order from chaos. If you let these criminals in, we're going to have to give up our liberties to get things back under control. And I think it's a dangerous precedent. What are your thoughts on that?
Steve, it's a good question you raise. So first of all, the National Guard is actually not directly covered by a Posse Comitatus Act. That is reserved for the U.S. military, for our troops. The National Guard, the president does have the authority to call up the National Guard, and that's been done before. If you remember, Eisenhower did it. With the school situation there in Little Rock, Arkansas back in the 1950s. So it has been done before. The president can use the Insurrection Act. He can declare a national emergency. Those are just some of the ways that the president could use the National Guard. But you're right, something has to be done here, and we've got to think this through. Steve, I got to run. The music's coming up, but thank you for that call. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. Should the president send the National Guard to these war-torn cities? A major retail chain just canceled a massive order, leaving MyPillow with an overstock of classic MyPillows. Now it's your gain. For a limited time, MyPillow offering their entire classic collection at true wholesale prices. Get a standard MyPillow for just $19.98. Want more? Upgrade to a queen size for only $24.98 or king size for $29.98. Snag body pillows for $39.98 and versatile multi-use pillows for just $12.98. Visit MyPillow.com and use promo code STARNS or call 1-800-839-8506 to score these amazing deals. Plus, when your order totals $75 or more, you'll receive $100 in free digital gifts, no strings attached. That's right, premium pillows at unbeatable prices and bonus gifts to top it off. Don't wait. Head to MyPillow.com or call 800-839-8506 now. And don't forget to use promo code STARNS to grab your standard MyPillow for only $19.98 while supplies last. All right, welcome back, everybody. This is the Todd Stern Show. Coming up, we have a crazy story about Ilhan Omar, who went from being worth nothing. You know, she came to this country as a refugee, and she got elected to Congress. She hates our country. And now she's a multimillionaire many times over, and a lot of people are beginning to raise some questions about that. So yesterday in Memphis, I've got to share this with you, and I try not to be too terribly Memphis-centric, but I got to share this story with you. So September 1st is 9-1, right? 9-0-1. That also happens to be our area code. And Dylan, you know this, but every September 1st, it's 9-0-1 day in Memphis. And people, they have big celebrations and cookouts and all sorts of festivities.
Yeah, people actually come outside for 9-0-1 day.
It's a big deal.
Yes.
So they have thousands of people in downtown. And the mayor is out there, and he's a Democrat. He's one of these radical Democrats. And he's saying that, you know what, there's no safer place in America than Memphis, Tennessee. And he says this with a straight face, even though the FBI yesterday came out with data showing that Memphis is the most dangerous place in America. But the mayor says, this is great. There's so much positive energy here. The vibes are off the charts. So that was the mayor yesterday afternoon. Well, a few hours later, this was the vibe in downtown Memphis.
Don't do it.
They say about 50 rounds were fired in downtown on Beale Street. And if you've been to Memphis as a tourist, you know Beale Street is a very popular tourist area. This happening right across from the beautiful Orpheum Theater where all of the Broadway shows come in. One 17-year-old was shot in his abdomen. While all that was going on, there were massive melees and brawls all over Beale Street, people fighting, and we've got all the video. It's just insane. Just insane. And a good friend of mine, he is a restaurant owner here in the Mid-South. He has restaurants of Hernando, Mississippi, and South Haven, Mississippi, and along Beale Street as well. Just one of the most brilliant restaurateurs and just an all-around great guy. His name is Jim LoSapio. Remember when I was feeling under the weather, Dylan, was it a couple of months back, and I was having the throat issue, and it was the allergies, and he and his wife have a big farm where they grow a lot of the stuff that they prepare in their restaurants, and he brought us a big old jar of his own honey.
Yeah, fix you right up.
You can't, if you have an allergy problem about it, you can't do the store-bought honey. It's got to be locally harvested honey.
Yep.
And I don't know how they do that. I mean, I guess each bee, and you got to squeeze the bee and it like squirts out the honey. I don't know how they do it.
I think you need to do more bee research.
But it's very good.
Yeah, it's very good.
The end product, however we get it. So anyway, he's just one of those nice guys. And just a great patriot. So anyway, he owns the King's Palace Cafe, which is right there on Beale Street, and great music, great food, great vibe. And last night, a mob of black Utes stormed in. They knocked out all the glass plate windows. They smashed tables. They smashed chairs. They terrorized the staff. There were fights. Dylan, you've seen this video. It was insane what was happening last night.
And they just like kept storming in. It's like one by one, you just like, and then all of a sudden there's like 50 people in the restaurant.
Never fighting. People fighting all over the place. It's unbelievable. So Mr. Lasapio, I had a chance to interview him, and I wanted you to hear, this is a guy who loves his city. He's a business owner. He employs a lot of people trying to give these folks jobs. And what happens? They destroyed the restaurant. Take a listen. Our good friend Jim Lasapio joins us. And Jim, you own businesses there on Beale Street. And I know you were sort of caught up in all of this yesterday. Tell us what happened to your business.
Well, Todd, about 10:30 last night, I had approximately a group of about 50 people who, I can only use the word, invaded my restaurant. And for a period of 5 minutes, they stood on tables, stood on chairs, and began to fight in the restaurant. And I have broken tables, broken chairs, broken windows, no police presence anywhere. It became the responsibility of my staff to try to get these people out of the restaurant. So finally, at about 10:30, we had just had enough of the day and locked the doors, closed the doors. But you can see it escalating throughout the day. At about 7 or 8 o'clock, you'd see the liter bottles of vodka and tequila all throughout the street. People were bringing their own bottles. Then you'd see the people sitting on the sidewalk and openly smoking marijuana. Nothing was done about it. No want or desire of the police to try to stop it. It was just open lawlessness. And it escalated into a couple stampedes. And then, you know, you aired the video of the fight on 3rd and Beale Street. You know, that fight happened, you know, was allowed to happen for 4 or 5 minutes. It was never broken up by the police. They just absolutely lost control of yesterday.
It looked like, and I've seen so many videos, Jim, and I was really shocked because there are wall-to-wall cops down there. How do you not have thousands of people and not have hundreds of cops, you know, that are very visible out there?
They just weren't prepared. And then, you know, on top of it, you know, when they don't attack the little things and let this lawlessness, I use the word lawlessness, continue, it just escalates. You know, when nothing's done about the guys carrying 1 liter bottles of vodka and creating their own party, and you've got the openness and the folks allowing them to just smoke marijuana all up and down Beale Street in the open. It's not like they're even trying to hide it. And then the fight start, and then the guns. How do guns make it on Beale Street? How do open bottles of how do 1 liter bottles of alcohol make it through security? How? And they do. So it's and then you don't have the police back there supporting any of it. They just let it happen. So, and
you know the rank and you know that decision, that's coming from higher up the command chain, because the rank and file, they're busting their butts out there, and they're only doing what they're told to do or not to do.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I blame it on the upper-level brass. I totally do. You know, the guys that are what I call the beat cops, they care. They're just overwhelmed. You know, they're not staffed for success. There's not enough of them on the street. And, you know, it becomes just this, you know, I'm using the word again, lawlessness, a day of lawlessness on Beale Street in downtown Memphis.
Jim, do you want to let folks know the name of the restaurant? Because, I mean, what you and your family have done for not just downtown, but the Mid-South, we just owe you really a round of thanks, because you guys have some of the best restaurants across the region. Do you want to tell folks where all of this happened?
Well, it happened in King's Palace. I'm going to share the video with you. Usually I don't like sharing videos, but I think people need to see what it was really like on Beale Street last night. And you'll see in the video, there's 50 people that just swarm the restaurant and fights break out. There's people standing on chairs and tables videoing the fight going on in my restaurant. And it's just infuriating as a small business owner, the lack of support and, again, lawlessness that was allowed to happen, and everything escalated to this point of friction last night downtown. So,
well, I want you to send me the video, and we're going to get that up on KWAM as well. And I am curious, what are other business owners there on Beale? What I saw yesterday, Jim, I immediately felt so bad for you guys. You're out there trying to give people jobs, employ people, and you can't do business with that kind of garbage going on.
No. The number of owners last night that just gave up on the night and just shut the doors and locked the doors and said, we've had it. We can't continue to operate like this. And it's like you said, it's sad because, you know, a lot of us hire and like to employ single mothers. And to shut the door on what should have been a really good night and not allow these employees to make money, it's sad that it's come to this. But, you know, it was one of the things we had to do last night just to prevent the damage from happening inside our venues.
What's sad, Jim, and I'll give you the last word here, is that our governor, who's a Republican, and again, we call out everybody on this show, the governor of Tennessee refuses to send the National Guard to Memphis. And I have to imagine, had we just had the presence of the National Guard on Beale Street, none of this would have happened.
I'll tell you this, Todd. I've got another good restaurant buddy of mine who has a couple of restaurants in Washington, D.C., And one of the things he told me, he said, the minute the National Guard hit the sidewalks, his sales increased by 50%. He started seeing his customers not Ubering to his business. They were actually walking to his restaurants. They felt safe. And it was almost a complete 180 degrees in the perception of Washington, D.C. And that's our problem right now. Is, you know, they like to say crime is down. I don't buy it. But we have a huge perception problem right now in Memphis. We do. And it's going to take us a while to get past that. So. Yeah.
All right, Jim, look, let us know what we can do to help you guys out. I am sorry this happened to you. And we're going to try to get answers from City Hall and try to get answers from the Republicans on the City Council. My concern is we already know the Memphis Grizzlies they haven't signed the lease yet. And one of the reasons why is because of what happened last night. And that ought to concern every single basketball fan, every single business owner in downtown Memphis. Yeah, there you go. There you go. So don't let this happen in your city, ladies and gentlemen. Don't at all. All right, 901-260-5926, our number. That's 901-260-5926. Indianapolis. Over the weekend, we've got this video. We shared it on our socials. Insane. There was a melee inside a Walmart. I mean, this looked like Carnival Cruise Line. And again, people have lost their ever-loving minds. But what gets me is they're dragging their kids along to these melees. Never seen anything like it, ladies and gentlemen. Unbelievable. By the way, there's a before we go to break, we're going to get to your calls in just a moment. Have you heard about what happened at the Colorado State Fair? We have the video up on our website, toddstearns.com. So it's a family friendly state fair. That's what they literally advertise this as, the Colorado State Fair. It is family friendly. So there is there's a main stage. And on the main stage, they installed a stripper pole at the family-friendly Colorado State Fair. And the video shows a woman, and she's an overweight woman, and she is writhing on the pole as stunned spectators watch on. And people are very upset about this. However, most of our readers actually are saluting the rather well-rounded woman, big boned, no, what's the full-figured? The full-figured gal. And they're saying, Starnes, we should be celebrating this woman. First of all, she was clothed, I mean, barely, but she was wearing a provocative outfit. But the fact that she was able to move her like she did on that titanium steel pole. Dylan, have you seen the video?
Unfortunately. I would be saluting the pole.
Well, I'll get to that in just a minute. It's true, though. A lot of people were like, "What? You are body shaming this woman." No, I don't think so. First of all, I mean, you know, if you're a stripper, you're of a certain body shape. I don't think that's body shaming, and I'm not advocating for strippers. I'm just saying it's sort of like there was a time when, for example, if you were in the Sports Illustrated swimsuit edition, you would, you know, be of a certain size and a certain dimensions. And now they have supersized. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that or right with that. I'm just saying that's the reality of it all. So anyway, the organizers of the State Fair now apologized. They said that, unfortunately, this did not reflect the fair's commitment to the family-friendly entertainment. They say that a third party booked the pole dancer and that they were not aware of what was going to happen up on stage. By the way, she never disrobed, but there was not a lot left to the imagination. So the organization behind this, the Peacock Pole Art, advertises itself as a premier pole dancing studio, and they said it was entirely family friendly. They say that the act was artistic, athletic, and fully age-appropriate pole performances. A pole, they say, is misunderstood, but it is a legitimate sport and art form recognized with strength, flexibility, musicality, and storytelling. I'm not sure she should have told that story, though. I'm just saying. Anyway, they say we take great pride in curating routines that are tasteful and suitable for a family-friendly audience. It was not a nightclub act, nor was it intended to be inappropriate. It was a celebration of movement, creativity, and culture, just like the other dance and acrobatic acts at the fair. So, as Dylan pointed out, many observers saluted the plus-size dancer's technique. One person said, folks are talking about how strong the pole must be, but I'm coming on here to comment on how strong she is, physically strong, mentally and emotionally strong. Wow! Another writing, she herself would have to be at least twice as strong as the average pole dancer. She pulled it off well with her weight. It is odd to be at a state fair, but at least it was done tastefully, not X-rated. Is there really a tasteful pole dance, though? I'm just asking. You know what's going to happen? And one of these churches with the worship bands and the lights and the smoke of the mirrors, you know they're going to have like a Christian pole dancing team. The pious pole dancers, the Protestant pole dancers. However, there were many that actually wanted to commend the American steelworkers who crafted the stripper pole. Pardon me, dance pole. One person said, I don't know which is stronger, that weld or her confidence. This is the Todd Starnes Show.
We all know that feeling. You finally manage to get away on vacation and the worrying starts. Will that bogus beware of dogs sign keep your home safe? What about that fake camera you set up? And will someone finally find your old hide and key rock? That's where ADT comes in. All that stuff, it's safe-ish. It seems fine when you don't really think about it, but you know it truly doesn't work. Instead, ADT provides security solutions that keep you actually safe, giving you real peace of mind. Because vacation is supposed to be, you know, relaxing. Don't settle for safe-ish. Visit ADT.com today to learn more.
Oh, geez, Alou. Okay, I get it. Yeah, people are upset here. How dare you? Who do you think you are? This woman is a graceful athlete. Yeah, I'm just saying. I mean, as Dylan pointed out, all of these poles do have a weight limit. And you don't want the pole to snap in two and, you know, impale the obese pole dancer. And I don't mean that in a negative way. I'm just saying, you know, you're overweight. What was this? Somebody told me. How dare you? You hypocrite. You're plus size too, Starnes. Yes, that's true. I am plus size, but I'm not trying to twirl around on a stripper pole. There's a big difference. And I don't think I ever would. Just want to point that out and put that out there. All right, hang tight. Hour two coming up, ladies and gentlemen. Ilhan Omar, how did she earn her money? I wonder if a poll was involved. We'll talk about it. Coming up next, 901-260-5926. Hey, during the break, head over to ToddStearns.com. Great stories, great content for you. You're going to want to check that out. We'll be right back, everybody.
We all know that feeling. You finally manage to get away on vacation and the worrying starts. Will that bogus beware of dogs sign keep your home safe? What about that fake camera you set up? And will someone finally find your old hide and key rock? That's where ADT comes in. All that stuff, it's safe-ish. It seems fine when you don't really think about it, but you know it truly doesn't work. Instead, ADT provides security solutions that keep you actually safe, giving you real peace of mind. Because vacation is supposed to be, you know, relaxing. Don't settle for safe-ish. Visit ADT.com today to learn more.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's interesting. We're coming up on the anniversary of the Muslim terrorist attacks of September 11th, 2001. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show, Hour 2. And going back to that day, I don't know about you, I remember exactly where I was, exactly what I was doing, when word came down that the Muslims had flown the jetliners into the buildings. You know, I got a lot of blowback from that. What do you mean by that? I mean that, what do you mean by what? What do you mean by Muslims? I mean, Muslims flew jetliners into the Twin Towers, and they flew a jetliner into the Pentagon, and Muslims also tried to attack either the Capitol building or the White House until God-fearing American patriots stopped them on Flight 93 and crashed the plane in Shanksville, Pennsylvania. That's what I mean. You see, there's been a lot of narrative changing going on since the terrorist attacks back in 2001, and there have been a lot of efforts to redefine and re-explain what happened. As a matter of fact, there are many schools that will now teach that America was responsible for what happened on that day, that American policy is to blame, and that Americans got what they deserved. Americans had it coming to them. That's what people out there are saying in some of these academic circles. It's beyond repulsive. It's beyond perverted, but that's what they think. And I remember at the time thinking to myself, this is not good, because this was not a one-off. It wasn't like, okay, we're going to fly these airplanes into the buildings, we're going to kill a lot of American people, and that's going to be the end of it. No, I believe this was really a marker for the Islamist worldwide to know that it was open season on America. Now, I think was it Laura Logan? There was somebody over the weekend that made an interesting observation about Islam. And they're saying that she was saying that Islam is not exactly a religion as much as it is a civilization, a way of life. And throughout global history, when you look at what happens when the Muslims invade a country, it is brutal. It is ugly. And it's not a matter of assimilation. It's a matter of taking over and then destroying the culture of the country. And we've seen this over and over again across Europe. We've seen it across the Middle East. And as a matter of fact, when I wrote my book, Culture Jihad, that was the reference point, because when the Muslims would invade a country, they would destroy their music, their cultural centers, the museums. They would burn the paintings. They would literally turn the culture of the country into rubble. And that's really what has been happening here with this jihad on our culture. And the reality is, and hear me on this, the reality is very grim for us down the road unless we make some changes. And all you have to do is look at what's happening right now in places like France and Belgium and the UK to get a good understanding of what is happening here in this country. But in our country, this Muslim takeover is in its infancy. And I say that because there's no, I don't believe there's any coming back for the UK right now. I've been watching the events unfolding over there over the past couple of years. And the fact of the matter is the birth rates among non-Muslims have cratered. I mean, it's really that simple. Muslims are giving birth to more babies at a rapid pace than the Christians are, and even the Jews. And soon they will literally outnumber Christians in the UK. It's that simple. The number one boy's name in the UK has been Muhammad. So over the weekend in Detroit, there was a massive conference. Thousands of people attended this. Muslims, Islamists. They attended the People's Conference for Palestine. And I am telling you, just speaker after speaker after speaker condemned the United States as being an evil place. Really some ugly stuff. I want you to listen to this doctor. His name is Dr. Nadal Jabbour. He is a medical doctor. He is a resident of Dearborn Heights, Michigan. And he's talking about Jews, okay? So within the context of his remarks, you need to understand that. He was talking about Jews. Cut number 12.
Gaza needs to be saved now. It saved all of us, liberated all of us. It is time for us to pay back and stop the criminals, the perpetrators, the child murderers, and we all know who they are. We all know who they are, whether they are in Israel, in Tel Aviv, in Washington, in Germany, in Europe. We all know them. We all know them. They need to be locked up. They need to be taken out. They need to be neutralized to save children.
You just heard a medical doctor saying that Jews needed to be taken out and neutralized. That comment came on American soil. By the way, it was speaker after speaker. One actually called the United States of America evil. Another said that Muslims need to continue to globalize the Intifada. Another speaker said Muslims have to, are you ready for this, destroy the idea of America in their heads, in their neighbors' heads, and in the heads of their comrades. And Congresswoman Rashida Tlaib uttered vile, profane language regarding Americans who support President Trump and freedom. She called you mother fornicators, so to speak. Now, I know this all may be shocking to you if you haven't been following this storyline, because there are multiple threats to America. And again, I'm hopeful, and one of the ways that we're going to be able to combat this is by cracking down on immigration and who we allow into this country. We've got to stop letting potential terrorists into our country. Now, we should have learned a lesson about the Islamists on September 11th, 2001. We did not do that. We did not do that. Now, Elon Musk is sounding the alarm over the threat of Islam. Laura Loomer, I want to read what Laura said. I for one, am thrilled to see Elon has woken up to the threat of Islam. We have the owner of X calling out the rape of Europe by Muslims and foreigners. This is a massive win for humanity. I'm thrilled to see Elon using his voice to sound the alarm on the threat of Islam. Hear me on this, folks. Left unchecked, they will overrun America. And it is never good when Muslims take over a country. It's just not. And history proves that time and time and time again. But the idea that you could have all of these folks in Michigan on American soil condemning the United States of America, I would have had ICE agents surrounding that building, and I would have been deporting folks left and right. That's what we ought to do. By the way, Elon is now calling for a Muslim imam in Boston to be deported after the imam said that white Americans should go back to Europe. The The imam says, quote, Islam is America's future, or without Islam, America will meet its demise. Wow. The imam goes on to say, calling upon God Almighty, their God, not the God, the Islamic God, to send the European home probably, go back to where you came from, because you've done nothing but cause hell in this country and all over the world. You know you've done it. Wow. So there you have it. So good on Elon for speaking out. People are terrified to speak out. I'm not afraid to speak out on this one, folks. This is a clear and present danger to the freedom of our great nation. No doubt about it. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. You know, the great thing about Christianity, when you look at our faith, is that, first of all, it is the religion upon which our entire nation was created. So I do believe that we were meant to be a Christian nation. But the great thing about Christianity is that you do get to choose. You can choose to accept Christ or you can reject Christ. That's your choice. You see, under the Christian way of life and under the Christian concepts and the precepts that our founding documents were flavored with, you have the right to decide who you want to be. You can be an atheist, and it's okay in America. You can be a Jewish person. You can be a Hindu. You can practice whatever faith you want to practice without fear of persecution. You can't do that anywhere else in America, in the world, but you can here. And it's because of Christianity, the Judeo-Christian teachings, not Islam, not Islam. If the Islamists ever take control of America, our Constitution is done. It's over. So just a word of warning there. So very disturbing conference, the People's Conference for Palestine in Detroit. All right, got to take a quick break here. 901-260-5926, our number. That's 901-260-5926. We have a lot of new listeners that we're adding this week, and I want to remind all of you, download our podcast. If you miss any of our segments or interviews, you can go back and listen to it free of charge. And it's available immediately after the show. So I would encourage you to do that. Again, free of charge, toddstearns.com. Click on the podcast tab at the very top of the page. By the way, I have to tell you about Newsmax, 5 o'clock Eastern, the Todd Stearns Show. My favorite show on Newsmax, too. Newsmax, of course, going public on the New York Stock Exchange. And we've been told that we are now the fourth highest rated news channel, just behind CNN. Reuters says we're one of the top news brands in America, and millions of people are joining our news revolution. So here's what I want you to do. Download our free Newsmax app on your smartphone or TV and start watching right now. President Trump, big fan of Newsmax. Get that free Newsmax app. Check out our Newsmax shares on the New York Stock Exchange. For that, go to NewsmaxInvest.com. That's NewsmaxInvest.com.
We all know that feeling. You finally manage to get away on vacation and the worrying starts. Will that bogus beware of dogs sign keep your home safe? What about that fake camera you set up? And will someone finally find your old hide and key rock? That's where ADT comes in. All that stuff, it's safe-ish. It seems fine when you don't really think about it, but you know it truly doesn't work. Instead, ADT provides security solutions that keep you actually safe, giving you real peace of mind. Because vacation is supposed to be, you know, relaxing. Don't settle for safe-ish. Visit ADT.com today to learn more.
Welcome back, everybody. Thank you for joining us this afternoon. So we have a Jasmine Crockett news update.
Chuck it! Chucking and jiving.
Ow! Good, good. All right, Jasmine Crockett. I this woman confuses me. So we're going to play you some audio here. And this is the same person, all right? This is the exact same person. Jasmine Crockett, before she got her fake ghetto accent. Take a listen.
First of all, it's good to see you in the new year. You know, no one could have told me that when I went down to Austin, now it looks like a little bit over a year ago, that I would be running for Congress.
Mm. Wow. Dylan, she talks better white than you do.
It's true. I have to work on it.
Mm-hmm. You do? Yeah, I would. I mean, the diction, as she enunciates.
Pristine.
Very much so. I mean, wow. I'm impressed. So now you're about to hear the new Jasmine Crockett. And I'm trying to understand it. Is this the Jasmine Crockett that we got after she attended Rhodes College? So, you know, she goes into the college speaking she enunciates her diction is just spot on. I mean, it's right there. And now here is the new Jasmine Crockett.
Baby, because these people, they are crazy because they always talk about how Christian they is. Yeah, I don't know how many of them on that side are getting divorced because they getting caught up sleeping with their co-workers, staffers, interns, all the things. Yeah, you ain't got to believe me. Just go Google. You'll find some of it. I'm telling you, and the wives is being messy and petty.
Ooh, all right, poo-poo. Wow. Wow. Same person. We researched this, and we determined. So here's what I want to do. Dylan, let's just play cut four and then immediately cut five.
First of all, it's good to see you in the new year.
Oh, thank you.
You know, no one could have told me that when I went down to Austin, now looks like a little bit over a year ago, that I would be running for Congress.
Baby, because these people, they are crazy because they always talk about how Christian they is. Yeah, I don't know how many of them on that side are getting divorced because they getting caught up sleeping with their co-workers, staffers, interns, all the things. Yeah, you ain't got to believe me. Just go Google. You'll find some of it. I'm telling you, and the wives is being messy and petty.
They be talking about how Christian they is. Did I get that right? They be talking about how Christian they is. That, ladies and gentlemen, is a woman who has been educated by some of the top schools in the United States of America. Are you understanding what's really going on here? And do you understand this is all an act? This is all make-believe. She is faux ghetto. That's the word we use here on this program. She's pretending to be something that she is not. This woman grew up in a very well-to-do home. She attended the finest day school in the St. Louis area, was educated at Rhodes College, ironically here in Memphis, and I don't know, maybe she spent some time in Orange Mound. I don't know. Maybe that's where she picked up the accent. But that is not a real accent. Now, it would be like yours truly coming up one day. And, Dylan, I should have asked you for some banjo music here. Like we could play, I don't know, dueling banjos. And imagine, if you will, that I just, you know, opened up the show one day, and I'm like, woo, well, doggy, how y'all's doing out there? How? I see. I'm just a good old Southern boy from Mississippi. That's him, cricket letter, hump back, eye. Oh, wee-hoo! I want some fried chicken. I want me some collard greens. I love me some banjo music. Oh, give me, no, I don't want, don't give me shoes. I just want to walk around here in my bare feet and my overalls and my wife beater t-shirt. Get her done, baby. Get her done. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I am from the South. But really, that's exactly what Jasmine Crockett is. She's faux ghetto, just like I was faux redneck. I mean, come on now. All right, we got to take a break. I could go for some fried chicken, though. Hold the collard greens. Maybe a biscuit. We'll be right back, America.
We
We all know that feeling. You finally manage to get away on vacation and the worrying starts. Will that bogus beware of dogs sign keep your home safe? What about that fake camera you set up? And will someone finally find your old hide and key rock? That's where ADT comes in. All that stuff, it's safe-ish. It seems fine when you don't really think about it, but you know it truly doesn't work. Instead, ADT provides security solutions that keep you actually safe, giving you real peace of mind. Because vacation is supposed to be, you know, relaxing. Don't settle for safe-ish. Visit ADT.com today to learn more.
Hellions done. Todd Starnes here. We're just hanging out, having a good old time, sipping a little bit of moonshine, drinking some sweet tea, watching them old possums crossing the road. Woo! We got supper coming. Yee-hoo! And that, ladies and gentlemen, is what we call faux-billy. It's a fake hillbilly, just like Jasmine Crockett and her fake ghetto accent. That, every now and again, you just have to just go the extra mile to illustrate the point. I want to bring into the conversation our good friend. He's the publisher of TriStar Daily, Steve Gill. Steve, I bet you didn't think dueling banjos would ever be used to introduce you.
And I'm really shocked at how you've completely changed the name of all your telecast and broadcast to Bubba Starnes Country now.
Bubba Earl. Bubba Earl.
Bubba Earl.
Bubba Ho! Indeed.
You know, this... You're going to start wearing an Alabama sweatshirt from Alabama Stan just to show your real Southern comfort.
All right, you've gone too far now, Steve Gill. That's just inappropriate. By the way, it's... I don't know. You and I are big Tennessee guys. We're big Vol fans. And it was so bad. That game over the weekend was so bad that I actually felt just a smidge of, like, sympathy for the Crimson Tide.
Not one ounce. Not one ounce. And as I watched UCLA go down in flames, I also had a big broad grin on my face. As I watched the University of North Carolina go down in flames, this was like the perfect weekend for a Vol fan, except Vanderbilt won. But other than that, it was pretty much we ran the table in terms of good news.
Well, it was. It was a great game, and being in Atlanta, which is a little different, but still, it was a lot of fun.
Well, and it's crazy. You know, Todd, they build these, you know, $100 million football stadiums on college campuses. Neyland Stadium in Knoxville seats about 105,000 people. So they go play in Atlanta in a stadium that seats about 45,000. I mean, the economics of what NCAA college football teams do, I mean, they were playing all over the country at these neutral sites, you know, literally giving up money. They would have had the same viewership and the same TV money had they been playing, you know, back and forth home games. But, yeah, playing in Atlanta, I think the Vols had about 45,000 fans instead of the 105,000 they would have seated in Knoxville.
It's beyond me, Steve. And I was watching. I'm going off on a tangent here, but speaking of football, I was watching this weekend the Netflix special. They did a documentary on the Dallas Cowboys, America's team. They call it "The Gambler and His Cowboys." Really, just I love these kinds of stories. But the story of Jerry Jones literally putting it all on the line to buy the Dallas Cowboys, which was his ultimate dream. And it was really a fascinating story to watch the Cowboys and how they've sort of ebbed and flowed over the years.
You know, there's been a documentary series that I stumbled upon of the picking of the Dallas Cowboy cheerleaders. And, you know, we see them at the games and they're gorgeous. They're beautiful. They're amazing dancers, very sexy women. But the battle they go through to get selected of... You know, you're a little chunky. Your kick is not quite so high. I mean, it is more brutal than any sports team tryout I've ever seen or participated in. And I got to tell you, if you haven't watched the making of the Dallas Cowboys, and there were like 9 seasons or something, but it's mainly how difficult it is to get through the process to become one. And then you watch these two guys for the Minnesota Vikings prancing around on the football field with nobody wanting to see that. It talk about an amazing disparity between America's team and the Dallas Cowboy cheerleaders, the icon of NFL cheerleaders, and two gay guys prancing on the field in Minnesota.
I will say this, that the Dallas Cowboy cheerleaders, all female, so they don't do any of the woke nonsense. And they were actually featured prominently, I mean prominently, like just about every other shot, even though the docuseries had nothing to do with the Dallas Cowboy cheerleaders. They were in just about every single shot available. So
they know how to capture eyeballs. And Jerry Jones actually did an appearance in Landman this season. It was one of the best episodes of the season, as he was laying out to one of the characters, spend time with your kids. That's one of the reasons I bought the Cowboys, so we could be in business together. I mean, he's an amazing character and an amazing success story.
You know, and
for the on-the-field score for the Dallas Cowboys.
Oh, that's true.
I like the fact that somebody pointed out this weekend that that Kelce exchanged a ring with Taylor Swift. She got a ring before the Dallas Cowboys for the last 20-some years.
Oh, wow. That's brutal. You know, that is true, though. His kids, when he bought the Cowboys, and talking about redneck hillbillies, I mean, that's who the Dallas Cowboys thought this guy was. You know, he's from Arkansas. And he called his kids up, and they were in their, I think, early 20s, mid-20s, and said, the only way I'm going to do this is if my kids work with me. And all three of the kids said, you know what, Dad, we're in, and they moved to Dallas. And, of course, the rest is history. Kind of like the guy who brought the, was it Dr. Jerry? He bought the L.A. Lakers.
Yeah, and that, Bosk, was it Bosk, I think?
Bosk, yeah, something like that, yeah. What a great, that, of course, that's a pretty perverted story, but it's pretty darn entertaining, I'll tell you that much. I didn't think
you know,
we're...
The whole NFL thing and NBA thing, you know, and the problem I have, we'll slide into a little politics here. We spend billions of taxpayer dollars to help billionaires build their businesses while somebody opening a new barbecue shop in downtown Memphis, there's not a dollar. You know, first of all, they ought to be giving them, you know, flak jackets and machine gun nests around their barbecue joint on Beale Street. But there's no federal dollars. There's no state dollars that's going to help some small business add one or two employees. But we'll spend billions to build stadiums for billionaires.
That's true. It's true. Steve Gill joining us. He is the publisher of TriStarDaily.com. Go and check out that great website. It is Dr. Jerry Buss, by the way. So it's a good guy there. Steve, we got to switch gears and talk about what's happening in Chicago, where now even Democrats have lost Morning Joe. I want to play some audio here and get you to respond to this. Let's play cut number 11.
Concern is you have leaders in Chicago that see this, as you say. We've been reading about this for years now, every weekend, and maybe crime has gone down. But, you know, we had the mayor of Chicago on last week saying, oh, we don't need any more police officers. Police officers aren't the answer. No police officers. You know, I think he said no five times. You look what's happening this weekend. You look so, you know, I actually think that J.B. Pritzker should do something radical. I think he should pick up the phone, call the president, and say, you know, and I know you don't have the constitutional authority to deploy the National Guard here and to police my. You can do that in D.C. You can't do that in Chicago. But let's partner up. These are the most dangerous parts of my state. We would love to figure out how to have a partnership that's constitutional, that respects the sort of balance of federalism between the federal government and the state government. And let's work together to save lives. Because right now, just the, hey, nothing to see here moving along. No problem here. Hey, Donald Trump, we don't need you. And, you know, the mayor talking about we're going to protect people's dignity in our city. Well, protect their lives. That's protecting their dignity. You know, it would be radical for us to figure out a way to actually do what I've been saying from the very beginning on Washington. And that is seeing politicians creating partnerships that protect their people.
Your reaction to that, Steve? They've lost MSDNC, which is now PMS now.
Yeah, when you've lost Joe in the morning, you've really lost, and they're losing voters, too. I mean, the approval rating for the Democrats nationally is in the low teens, and they're not doing anything to change it. As you mentioned, you know, Crockett with her fake hood accent and all the rest that are continuing to push the far-left agenda is not catering to what works. And they might be able to quibble and argue about Trump deploying the National Guard to Washington, D.C. if it wasn't working so well? If the residents of D.C., if even the mayor of D.C. weren't having to acknowledge, yeah, we've gone like 10 days with no murders. Yeah, we've gone, crime-free for, ever since we did this. If it wasn't working so well, they might be able to dodge and weave, but they can't deny the reality. And others, whether it's in Memphis, whether it's in Chicago, Philadelphia, L.A., are looking, going, why can't we have the same kind of, clean streets and secure neighborhoods that now Washington, D.C. is getting? And I think that's where the Democrats are having to, have a come-to-Jesus moment that reality is interceding with their political agenda.
And this is why James Carville, who is already slap crazy, has lost his ever-loving mind, because Carville, he's a pragmatist, right? He gets it. You got to win. And he knows that the current trajectory for the Democrats is a losing proposition. I want to read out some polling data. This is from the Associated Press. These are the percentage of voters who say crime is a major problem in large cities. 68% of Democrats, that's an overwhelming number of Democrats, say crime is a major problem in large cities. 96% Republicans. Throughout the United States, 57% of Democrats say crime is a problem. 73% in your local community, 26% Democrat, 21% Republicans. What do these numbers tell you about where the Democrats are on this issue right now?
Oh, Todd. You know, it's just because the media and the crime statistics are reporting these numbers. As the Memphis mayor says, if y'all would just stop talking about crime in Memphis, nobody would know about it. And it's the same thing in Chicago and Detroit and all these other places. One of the reasons they claim crime has gone down is they stopped reporting crime. Yeah, it's easy to, turn murders into assaults, to turn thefts into, missing property and make the crime statistics look better. And you've got the Democrats, again, rather than addressing the problem, trying to obfuscate it, cover it up by claiming that, well, the red states in America have some of the worst crime rates around, only because of the blue cities run by Democrats in those red states. Tennessee's a great example. Memphis, Jackson, Nashville, Chattanooga. If you took the crime stats out of those five cities, Tennessee would be one of the safest environments in the world. Same thing when you look at Illinois. You take Chicago out, Illinois is not unsafe. So it's the crime in blue cities where the residents there, God bless them, continue to put the same people in power who continue to make the streets unsafe, the streets dirty, the prosperity of the community sacrificed at the altar of their democratic worshiping. The blue cities are the problem in America, and the Democrats are not pushing back against it. They're embracing it.
Yeah, that, no doubt about it. All right, Steve, we got to leave it there. Before we let you go, though, big, big congressional race that's happening to replace Congressman Mark Green, and every single seat counts now. How are things going there, and anybody rising to the top?
There's about three or four Republican candidates in that battle for the 7th District in Middle Tennessee, and a Republican will win that. The winner may only get 22-23% of the vote, because there's about four candidates that are really kind of dividing things up. 10 of them are running in that Republican primary. It's about a +10 Republican district, and other than the fact that the general election will take place December 2nd, a lot of people are going to be going, what, there's an election? I thought it was next year. I'm worried about Christmas. There could be low turnout that would give Democrats a shot if Republicans aren't careful. And when you look at those national polls, Todd, as good as they look for Republicans heading into the midterms and into special elections like this and into Virginia and New Jersey with elections this year, never underestimate the ability of Republicans to screw up an undeniable victory. Don't overestimate our ability to screw things up.
Yeah, Lord knows that's the truth. All right, the great Steve Gill, ladies and gentlemen. Be sure to check out his great website, TriStarDaily.com. All right, Steve, got to run. Good hearing from you.
Thanks, Bob.
All right. There you go. Jeez, hello. Let's go to the phone lines real quick here. Joshua in North Carolina. And Joshua, I understand you want to weigh in on my hillbilly impersonation.
Yeah, I was actually driving down I-40 in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, and had to pull over in the gas station because you had me cracking up so much with that with that impersonation.
You know,
I was laughing so hard I thought I was going to drive off the highway.
So this is a funny story. You know, a lot of people think I went to school to train to get my radio voice, and that is not it at all. I used to, when I was born in Tennessee, you get this twang. You have a Tennessee twang, and I had probably the most egregious Tennessee twang. But then my dad got transferred down to New Orleans, and that New Orleans accent just sort of mellowed out the twang. So this is what you got. But yeah, I was a, I guess you could say I was a hillbilly back in the day.
I'll tell you, I mean, I grew up in somewhere around Winston-Salem, North Carolina my entire life. And at one point in time, I went to Chicago and spent 6 months up there training for a job. And they thought I had the worst accent in the world. And I was like, you've got to be kidding me. My wife's family grew up at Stone Mountain, North Carolina, and I think they have the worst accent in the world. I thought I had a regular accent, but yeah, you really had me laughing there.
Well, I'm glad you pulled off safely, Joshua. you know, I love accents, and we got to be able to poke fun every now and again. Joshua, you be safe out there on the roadways, and thank you for listening to us there in the Winston-Salem area. WSJS is our great affiliate out there, and they do some great work. There is there's a fascinating story about the Appalachian accent, and there are some areas of Appalachia that even I don't understand what they're saying. It's a beautiful language, but the dialects and everything, I'm always fascinated by those. But it's authentic. And again, when we're talking about Jasmine Crockett, she ain't authentic, as they say. Got to take a break. We'll be right back.
We all know that feeling. You finally manage to get away on vacation and the worrying starts. Will that bogus beware of dogs sign keep your home safe? What about that fake camera you set up? And will someone finally find your old hide and key rock? That's where ADT comes in. All that stuff, it's safe-ish. It seems fine when you don't really think about it, but you know it truly doesn't work. Instead, ADT provides security solutions that keep you actually safe, giving you real peace of mind. Because vacation is supposed to be, you know, relaxing. Relaxing. Don't settle for safe-ish. Visit ADT.com today to learn more.
Dylan, have you ever forgotten a library book, returning a library book?
It's been a while since I've actually been to the library.
Oh, boy.
Yes, though. The answer is yes.
I would always forget, and then you have to pay a fine.
Yeah.
Or they revoke your library card, and back in the day, they told us that would be on our permanent record.
They did hype up that penalty.
Boy, they sure did.
I thought I was going to get arrested.
Right? Exactly. You don't want the librarian showing up. They always scared me.
Yeah.
San Antonio, Texas, a library book has been returned nearly 82 years after it was borrowed from the San Antonio Public Library. The book is called Your Child, His Family, and Friends, written by a marriage and family counselor, Francis Bruce Strain. It was checked out in July 1943 and was returned this past June from a person in Oregon. Wow. Who would have thought the book was a guide for parents on helping their children navigate personal relationships? It was checked out when the individual's father was 11 years old. So they attached a note to the book. They did not attach a check with the penalties, but they said they were blaming it on Grandma. She's the one who checked out the book. And they said, Grandma won't be able to pay for it anymore. Grandma's dead. Oh, geez, that's terrible. But at least they got the book back. So can you imagine the waiting list of all those people wanting to read that book after 82 years? Well, there you go. All right, I got to take a quick break here, folks. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. This is the Todd Stern Show.
Live from the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee. It's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
And hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. We are waiting to hear from President Trump. He's expected to make an announcement today that the Space Force program is going to be moved from Colorado to Alabama. That's going to be huge news. I know that Senator Katie Britt was making her way back to Washington. She's going to be joining us on tomorrow's program, by the way, and she'll be a part of the ceremony. So we'll keep you updated on that big story. You know, the other one is the name change for the Pentagon. Instead of the Defense Department, the president wants to rename it, and going back and adopting the original name for the department, which was the Department of War. So instead of the Defense Department, the Department of War. Curious to hear your thoughts on that. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Interesting over on CNN. This is just insane. Cut number 7.
This, as an American,
let's talk about Kamala
makes
Harris.
Me really concerned.
Let's talk about Kamala Harris.
As a black
memory.
Lesbian who Donald Trump doesn't believe has genes as good as his, is he going to attempt to exterminate
really?
Me
why do you believe
when he
that,
gets elected?
Aisha?
Because
why do you
he's
that?
Damn near said it. That's why, David. That's why.
Because he's
okay, and I'm not going to be lectured
that?
By some white man who has no idea what he's talking about and is trying to rewrite history here.
Aisha, shame
afraid,
on you, Aisha.
As an American,
Aaron,
of a Donald Trump presidency and his actual quotes
shame
are
on
why.
You, Aisha.
Because I take him seriously, and I think that he believes what he says, and that is why he is a danger and a threat to America.
Mm. Guess what words she lost me at? That would be black lesbian. I just sort of checked out at that point. So don't you lecture me, white man. How dare you? So look, I just can't. You know what this calls for? This calls for some good old fashioned shucking and jiving.
Shucking and jiving.
Yeah, I got no Jasmine Crockett news. I just like that song. I really do. It's just everybody's shucking and jiving these days. Shucking and jiving. All right. This story, and this is a weird one, out of Connecticut, of all places. And there's a homeowner who was washing his car in his driveway. Now, this is not some sort of a HOA, all right? This is like a small town, a township, if you will. So these are old homes established and just regular old, these are just regular Joe homes is really what it is, you know, working class neighborhood. Anyway, the guy was out there and he was washing his car in the driveway, which, by the way, I did, you know what I do, Dylan? We, instead of going and spending, what, $20-$30, and you go through and you got to put the car in neutral and it takes you through, I always screw that up. And then they look at you and the people behind you honk the horn. And I'm like, you know what? I'm done with this. I'll wash my own blasted car.
There are a lot of hand motions that go on in those
car
washes.
Oh, my gosh. It's like, you know, this. I feel like I'm landing a FedEx jet.
Please start levitating.
And I'm not quite sure. You know, they upcharge you, and I'm not quite sure you actually get that upcharge service.
I don't think so.
I'm just saying. So anyway, I actually washed my car outside our palatial bunker, and I went down to the AutoZone. I've got the whole setup here. You ought to see it on the weekends. I'm like, I could charge. And, you know, I'm washing, I'm waxing, and here's the thing. If you go out and look at my tires right now on the Cadillac, oh, by the way, make sure the Cadillac, you know, it sparkles.
Yes.
It looks great. And the tires. So there's this stuff you get at AutoZone now in this orange canister. And I think it causes cancer, but it makes your tires look great. So you're not supposed to inhale it. But anyway, all you do, it's a spray foam, and you spray it on your tires. And Dylan, it's like 10 minutes later, it's like you have brand new tires on your vehicle.
Mm.
I mean, you've seen it out there.
Yes, it's very shiny.
You can actually, if you needed to comb your hair, you could do it in the chrome of the rims.
Yeah, that's true.
What was I talking about? Oh, yes. Yeah. So there's a guy in Connecticut. It's Tuesday. Cut me some slack. Had to work last night. So this poor guy was just out there, and he was washing his car, and the cops show up. Somebody called the cops on this guy. Take a listen to what happened.
Your problem?
Yeah.
What is that?
Problem being, your neighbor doesn't like you.
That's not my fault.
Yeah.
Well, it is when he starts calling you about things being done here that goes against the village ordinance.
Such as?
Such as doing any kind of work here or any kind of detailing, like washing the car and things like that. You're not allowed to do it.
On your own property?
That's the law.
That's it.
Yeah.
Huh. I don't make this shit up. I ain't just driving down the street to come over here and drink the pools, okay? I got a call from a lieutenant to come over here. Water violations, washing motor vehicles, rugs, furniture prohibited in public place.
This is a private area.
This is a private residential
Yeah, this property. Is a private home.
Okay, that's what you say. It's still in public view.
You want to get the deed to the house? It says it's private?
It's a private area.
All right, guys, you do what you got to do.
Okay.
If you do it, we will be back here to give you tickets, right? The parents are going to call. So I'm advising you. You guys want to do something?
If you want to give us the ticket, you should give it to us now because we
do it. We start doing some work, and then you'll have your ticket. Okay.
But it said public place.
This is not a public place.
Oh, by the way, what was the name again under the car? Eric G. That's the car we got.
This is a battle that you don't want to start with. I'm playing out.
A battle? I didn't try to start a battle.
All right, I'm trying to tell you guys ahead of time. You want to push the issue.
No, I mean, we'll call
my bosses.
I don't understand what the issue is.
There's no issue. I'd rather not go.
There's no issue going on. There's nothing wrong happening.
So this guy was just minding his own business, and the neighbors complained. I guess there's some sort of a rule in that town that you're not allowed to wash your car or work on your car in your driveway. Ladies and gentlemen, this man is a homeowner. He owns that property. What he does on that property, it seems to me, is his own business. And this cop, something is off about the cop here. And it sounds as if the cop may be friends with the neighbor. That's what it sounds like. And this cop is overstepping his position here. But what kind of a country do we live in where a guy is not allowed to wash his car in the privacy of his driveway? I just don't understand that. And for that matter, once you step foot on private property, officer, do you have a warrant? If not, officer, I'm going to have to ask you to come back with a warrant. And you need to step off my property right now, sir. You can be nice and polite about it. And that's one of the things I love. The homeowner, just trying to wash his car, was much more calm than the police officer was. This is all fascinating because a few years back, there was a guy who, it was in Michigan, and it was super cold. And the guy drove to his girlfriend's house to pick up her 2-year-old son. And so you know how it is when it's cold outside, it's like, 20 degrees. And what do? You leave your car running, right? So you close the door, you go up. And so anyway, by the time the guy got back to the car, a cop had showed up. Again, the car was in the driveway, and he got a ticket for $128 for leaving a vehicle unattended in the driveway. The guy said, he was talking to CBS News. I was there for like 7 or 8 minutes. Before I noticed the ticket, he said he was also dropping off diapers. He was like, what? This is insane. So this all happened in Roseville, Michigan. And just thousands of people said, this is absolutely nuts. And a lot of people say, I thought you could not be ticketed on private property. And the police department is defending all of this. As a matter of fact, the police chief said, I encourage our officers to write the ticket. Because car theft is a public safety concern. All it takes is for someone to hop in the car and take off. Then there's a high-speed chase, and all of it could have been prevented if the guy would have shut his car off and locked the door. Well, maybe the door was locked. Unbelievable. I'm telling you, this is what happens when you have government overreach, ladies and gentlemen. The idea that a guy can't wash his car in the privacy of his driveway. Unbelievable. 901-260-5926. By the way, let's go to Dan in North Carolina, wants to weigh in on the Defense Department. So, Dan, I understand that you've got a story to share.
Absolutely. Unfortunately, my wife's father passed away a couple of years ago. And in going through all of his stuff, we ended up getting one of the original bronze building placards that had War Department written on it. And we got that hanging up in the house right now.
Is that right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I couldn't believe it when I saw it. I was like, wow.
That's...
Of course, along with all the other stuff, old stuff, he even had one of the old Paladin business cards, Have Gun, Will Travel. He carried that in his wallet.
Is that, you know what, Dan, I remember, so this goes all the way back to 1947, and that's when the Department of War changed its name. So the Department of War was actually abolished in 1947, and then it was reestablished with a new name in 1949. That's when they called it the Department of Defense. So you've got a great piece of history there.
I think so, too.
Well, I love.
That's all I wanted to share. I hope you're having a great day.
Dan, I'm having a dandy day. I can't complain at all. And thank you for calling in. We really appreciate that. 901-260-5926 is our number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, let's go to Phil in Gainesville, Georgia, WDUN, our great affiliate there. That's Bill Main Country. Hi, Phil, what's going on?
Well, Todd, we're embroiled in one of those POA, HOA association deals. And it seems like the people involved in these things have not much say-so because you don't even know when they have meetings. You don't know what goes on. You can't get minutes. But yet they can certainly get your money because you're supposed to keep this golf course afloat that's had some financial difficulties. We don't even get to play free golf on the golf course, and we pay $1,400 a year.
Wow, that's a lot of money. So let's just say that you buy your house outright. Say it's $500,000, and you pay cash for that. You're telling me you still got to pay monthly HOA fees?
Yes. That's right. And then we have to pay additional fees to the golf course because they somehow passed this resolution that would include any non-members of the country club have to join as community members.
That's no fun. That makes no sense at all. Let me ask you, are you allowed to wash your car in the driveway?
Well, I do. I can relate to what you just talked about. Nobody's going to say a thing to me about it, but when I moved in here some 10, 12 years ago, they said you weren't supposed to wash your car on the driveway. It was in there somewhere in the covenant. But yet you can't have a trash can visible from the street. It's ridiculous. But yet one guy has a car repair business. You're only supposed to have two, maybe three cars in the driveway, but yet there's always four or five in his drive. He's got two driveways, an upper driveway and a lower driveway. So it's kind of like either you're part of the privileged few that are running this operation, or you just pony up the money like they tell you to.
I hate HOAs. Can't stand them.
And the thing is, you need an attorney. And, I mean, an attorney's not going to touch something that where you have unless he gets money up front.
That's true. Don't like them folks either.
So maybe, you know, I'll close for now. I think you've got the idea. They got us where they want us. And in order to fight, we'd have to have attorneys. And you can't even find out who voted for anything in this passing this resolution to belong to the golf course.
Jeez, Alou. I'd be taking a big Bertha out. That's what I'd be doing. Phil, good luck to you. Hang in there, my friend. Dylan, We have breaking news to share with the nation.
Breaking news now on the Todd Starn Show.
All right, the very first Associated Press Top 25 poll is out. And by the way, President Trump hasn't started speaking yet, which is why we're doing this. Dylan, this is a freaking travesty. A travesty, I say. A travesty. I'm going to go through the list here. I want to know why we have teams that have yet to win a game in the top 10. Could someone explain that to me? Somebody explain that to me. Ohio State, number one. Okay. Penn State, number two. All right, geez. LSU, number three. Mm. All right. Number four, Georgia. Number five, Miami. They played Notre Dame, right?
They did, yeah.
Kicked their butts.
Yeah.
All right, kicked the Catholic right out of them. Number six is Oregon. Ugh. I know we've got KYKN listers, but I don't know. It's the colors. I don't understand that. Texas, number seven. They're oh, and, by the way, Arch Manning, I think he may be adopted.
Yeah, that's a lot of trouble.
That's not good. That's not good at all. You know they've got I wonder if they have buyer's remorse.
Someone said Arch Manning had 53 commercials to one touchdown. It's true.
Wow, it's true though. All right, 0-1 Texas, number 7. Clemson 0-1. Yep. They're number 8. Notre Dame 0-1, number 9. South Carolina number 10. And this is where I'm really getting rattled. First of all, Florida State, they were not ranked, and so now they're ranked 14th, which, okay,
That's really high.
Yeah, especially seeing how Ole Miss is ranked number 20. Mm-hmm. Number 21 is Alabama. And this is where I thought I heard people screaming on Rocky Top. Number 22 is Tennessee. We delivered the mother of all butt thumpings against Syracuse at the Georgia Dome or whatever they call that thing now. And you're telling me that Alabama has a better team than Tennessee does?
Nope. That's wrong.
What the heck?
That's so wrong.
And so we only moved up. We only moved up two spots. Yeah.
That's disrespectful.
It is. That's exactly what that is.
I mean, Tennessee has a better team than Florida State, and they beat Alabama, in my opinion.
I mean, Alabama deserves to go to Division II after what ouch. I shouldn't have said that. Can I take that back?
You're going to get angry callers.
I'm going to get some. Yeah, that's not good. What about Auburn? Is Auburn on here? Hello, Auburn. You know, Alabama used to be known as a good state for football. Mm. I don't see Auburn on the list. Where are you, Auburn? Oh, Memphis, University of Memphis got 2 votes.
Let's go.
2 votes. All right, go Tigers. There you go. 901-260-5926. Unless you're from Alabama, I'll apologize off air. We'll be right back. We are still waiting for President Trump to come out. Hello, everybody. Todd Stearns back with you. The president was supposed to speak, about 35 minutes ago. So anyway, we'll bring those remarks to you when they happen. The president is expected to announce that Space Force is moving from Colorado to Alabama. So we'll let you know when that happens. Dylan just holler at us. I want to bring into the conversation on our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. By the way, patriotmobile.com/Todd is the website. Go check out America's only Christian conservative wireless carrier. Our good friend Josh Jones joins us. Josh, how's it going today?
I'm good. How are you, Todd?
It's hard to believe. You know, last week at this time, you know, we were still trying to come to terms with the big visit to the White House.
Yeah, no, that's right. It feels like an eternity's passed with everything that's going on in the news cycle. But, yeah, no, we were at the White House last week, got to talk to a lot of great folks, so very exciting stuff.
And, of course, you had one request, and it was really not a request, it was a mandate. And you said, Starnes, if you ever want to have me on your show again, you have to make sure I am introduced to this one person.
I don't know if I phrase it quite like that, but yeah, no. Judge Jeanine, you know, was able to swing by and do some hits with a couple of different stations. So I was like, all right, that's the one person I have to get a photo with while I'm here.
So was that your first time actually meeting her in person?
Yeah, I've been at some events in the past, but I mean, it had quite literally been years. So yeah, especially with, you know, her stepping away from Fox and coming down and joining the administration, I was like, all right, this is my chance.
All right. So what was it like? Can you get, I mean, was there a conversation involved? Tell us about it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, she was running around doing all these hits. I'm very brief, but, you know, got to chat with her for a few minutes, you know, basically echoing the support that, you know, a lot of others have been saying for what she's doing here in D.C. and trying to make D.C. safe again. And, you know, America in general, frankly, but her specifically focused on D.C. So just touch base on that briefly and just tell her to keep up the good work.
All right. Did you get like the handshake or was there like the cheek air kiss?
You know what? I don't recall offhand which one it was. I think it was a cheek air kiss. Honestly, I don't know. It all happened very quickly.
Well, it's by the way, great picture. And that was pretty awesome. And that's one of the things I love about Janine. You know, she is so personable, very friendly. Mm-hmm. But let me say something. If you're a bad guy, you better watch out.
Exactly. I mean, she's just a very sweet lady. But like you said, if you're on the opposite side, then you better take cover.
So after all of that was over with, everybody else was ushered off of the White House property except for us. And we got the interview, or we, you know, got the invitation to go and visit with President Trump. And you and the great CEO of this company, Dalton Glasscock, you guys were ushered into the White House press briefing room, which is sort of where you cooled your jets for a little while. What was that experience like?
You know, it's honestly, it's pretty, number one, a lot smaller than it looks on TV. So that was my first observation. But no, it's a super cool experience and getting to go in there and kind of see how the press operates. And, you know, particularly on that day as well. The president had called the press corps into the Oval three times during that day, which is basically unheard of. So it's just being able to see that. And also, it carries true that it's just not politics or political rhetoric, that this administration, specifically this president, is one of the most transparent presidents we've ever had in terms of interacting with the press and taking questions. I mean, you never saw that from the Biden administration. Maybe he would talk to the press maybe once a month, whereas President Trump literally called him into the Oval three times in one day. So
you and Glasscock had a rule, you know, the only thing was don't leave the White House press briefing room. And I'm getting these text messages as I'm waiting to go into the Oval Office, and my cell phone coverage is not great. I didn't have my Patriot mobile phone with me at the White House. And I'm getting these cryptic messages from Dalton. We're being escorted out to the Rose Garden. And then we're stuck in the Rose Garden. What in the world was going on?
So long story short of it, you were in the press briefing room, and they have like an intercom system where they come over and tell the press to assemble, whenever the president's assembling them for comment or, you know, a press conference, whatever it may be. So anyways, we're in the press room just kind of checking things out. They come over the intercom. You know, 60-second warning, press assemble at the door, which, you know, to everybody else that's there every day, they know exactly what that means. We did not know what that meant. So we thought, okay, well, all the press are running around. So you're like, okay, either the president's about to come in here or something's about to happen. And then we noticed they were all lining up at the door beside the stage where the president comes through to give press conferences in the press briefing room. But it also leads back to the West Wing. So they were lining up at that door because they were being summoned to the Oval Office. So we're like, well, we're press. So we kind of joined the gaggle of everybody else because we're like, you know, just following along basically. And so we go through with the press and then we end up in the Rose Garden. And due to the like time constraints, I guess also the number of people, they didn't let all the press into the Oval. So like there's myself, Dawn, ABC reporter, a couple other folks that were kind of stuck in the Rose Garden because they had closed the Oval doors already, and they had closed the doors behind us. So we're just kind of hanging out in the Rose Garden. Eventually, someone from the comms team came and grabbed us. But very, very almost accidental Oval visit there.
I was expecting you guys to photobomb my picture with the president with your faces outside the window there of the Oval Office. So. Well,
Dalton actually sent me a video from that press conference, and we were both looking in the windows in the back to see if you could see us out.
Jeez, I'm just glad you guys weren't tasered by Secret Service. That would not have been a good thing. Not a good thing at all.
I'm right there with you. Because once the door closed, I was like, well, I don't really know what to do now.
Yes, stay in the press briefing room. Did not follow instructions. But in spite of all of that, people, Dylan actually doubted this happened. But I was telling people that I brought you guys some cookies after the White House visit.
This is true. And you know what? And maybe it's just because I hadn't ate very much that day. Those were some of the best cookies. And they're also gluten-free, which I usually don't care whether it's gluten-free or not. But typically, if it's gluten-free, it usually doesn't taste as good. But it was a great cookie. Very presidential, some would say.
I tell you. Yeah, it was a good – I think it was even a Toll House, but it was not MAHA compliant. But it was a good cookie. It was a good cookie. All right. Hey, by the way, what do you make of all of this, the hullabaloo over the weekend? I mean, we went from having a president who sat down with me on Monday, mm-hmm. had just done a whirlwind tour of events. I would imagine just took a couple of days for himself, and now everybody says he's on death's doorstep.
Yeah, it's absolute kind of media hysteria. And you know what? I think this is honestly it even gives more credit to the president and how accessible he's been. If he's gone for 3 days taking a break and everyone's freaking out where he is, that just shows exactly how much he is around. But yeah, I think it's totally overdone. The president, I mean, he's an older gentleman, so you know, he probably needs to take a couple of days off.
Look, and that's my only thing is they're running this guy ragged. Somebody in that White House has to be willing to say, Mr. President, we know you want to drive 90, but you got to take it down to 75.
Exactly. Because keep in mind, we got another 3.5 years, so it's not burn all the gas in the first 6 months.
Exactly. All right, Josh Jones. Well, we certainly appreciate you joining us today, and perfect timing because President Trump is getting ready to make that big announcement. So we're going to have to let you go, my friend.
Awesome. Well, thank you, Todd.
All right. The great Josh Jones. And it was a lot of fun. We had a great time over at the White House. So here's the deal. We are expecting the president any moment now. We're going to take a quick break. This is the Todd Stern Show.